We have just nicely been through the Easter season with Palm Sunday a couple of Sundays ago, Dark Wednesday, and then Resurrection Sunday, last Sunday. And I thought it might be of interest this morning for our meditation around the Lord's table to think about what happened to Jesus after he died on the cross. What happened to Jesus after he died on the cross? We don't have much specific information about it in the scriptures, but the scriptures do give us some definite hints that we can muse on concerning Christ after he died and what was going on with him. So we're going to look at a couple of passages of scripture that will give us some information as to what Jesus, where he was and what he was doing. So number one, I'll have you turn to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 40. Actually, we'll read verse 38 to 40 in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, and find verse 38, where we read this. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas, or Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights, where? In the heart of the earth. In the heart of the earth. So this is, it's interesting that Jesus says it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Paul said in one of his letters that the Jews seek a sign or require a sign. But Jesus says it's an evil and a, evil and wicked generation that looks after a sign. And then only one sign is going to be given, and that's the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish or the whale. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Where would the heart of the earth be? It's down, right? It's down in the ground, in the grave, not where the body would go, but even deeper, in the heart of the earth, the very center, if you want. Now, a lot of theologians tell us that 3 days and three nights, that phrase, is simply a Hebraism or a euphemism and shouldn't be taken literally to be three full days and three full nights. You know me long enough to understand I don't believe that. I don't believe that reasoning at all. If Jesus had said 3 days and nights, then we probably could accommodate a Friday death and a Sunday resurrection. 3 days and two nights, right? But I will have you to consider that Jesus is very specific about what he says. 3 days and three nights. Those need to be established as exactly what Jesus meant. And also you need to consider that the days that are involved are Sabbath days for the Jewish people, because the days involved are Passover, which is a whole day feast where no ordinary work could be done. The next day is the first day of unleavened bread, which is also considered a Sabbath day. No ordinary work could be done on that day. And then, of course, you've got the weekly Sabbath, which is a full day, 24 hours from sundown to sundown. So Jesus is very specific, 3 days and three nights. And because of the days that are involved, they all would be full 24 hours in duration. Passover, first day of unleavened bread, and the weekly Sabbath require full 24 hours to be observed. So Jesus was 3 days and three nights where? In the heart of the earth. His body was laid in the sepulcher a few hours after he had given up the ghost and breathed his last, but his spirit and his soul went into the heart of the earth. So are we okay with that so far? That's what happened to Jesus after he died. He went into his soul and spirit went into the heart of the earth while his body went into the tomb. So what about the heart of the earth? What's that all about? Well, secondly, turn with me to Luke 23, the passage that we read earlier. In Luke 23, verse 43, we've read the context of this. Jesus is on the cross, being mocked by the elders and the chief priests and the Roman soldiers, and even one of the thieves that was on the cross. Initially, both of them were mocking the Lord Jesus, but one of them, and I don't know if it was the right hand or the left hand, because I'm left-handed, I like to think it was the left-hand guy, that had a change of heart, seemed to have repented of what he at first thought of the Lord Jesus. And when the other criminal was mocking the Lord Jesus, this guy stepped up. Well, he didn't step up. He came forward, being nailed to a cross as well, or at least tied to a cross, and said to the other thief, what are you doing? Don't you fear God? This is verse 40. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, notice, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise. In paradise. Well, when Jesus gave the sign of Jonah, he said he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Here on the cross, he is now saying, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So from this verse, then, we learn that Jesus' spirit and his soul went into paradise, which at that time was in the heart of the earth, right? The heart of the earth. Okay so far? Okay. Do we have any information on paradise, what it is, where it is, and other things like that? There's lots of opinions, but what can we learn from the scriptures about paradise? Interestingly enough, the word paradise occurs only three times, all of them in the New Testament. In Luke 23:43 that we just read here, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, I want to turn over there to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Charge. Remember the old sword drills that we used to have as kids? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Actually, I'll read the first four verses. This is the second place where paradise is used. Paul says, it is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to, notice, the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into, where? Paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So, from this verse then, we learn that paradise, in Paul's day, paradise was in the third heaven, right? Which is up, not down, it's up. in the third heaven, which is the abode of God. Jesus said to the thief on the cross that the thief would be with him in paradise, which was in the heart of the earth. And then Paul, years later, testifies that he was caught up to the third heaven and paradise. And then in John, there's one more in Revelation 2, verse 7, which has the word paradise, which says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And so in this verse is a promise to the overcomer that they will be able to partake of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, which would be right there in the very presence of God himself. And we know at least that it's the third heaven, maybe even beyond that, because God is omnipresent. He's all present everywhere. And so there's three distinct places that are mentioned in Scripture for this place called paradise. Well, that's a lot to think through with only three occurrences of the word in the whole Bible. Can we figure it out? Sure, I think we can. We're given enough information in the Scriptures to understand exactly what's going on with paradise. And to help us with this understanding, we need to go to Luke chapter 16. Right, so Jesus dies on the cross. He tells the thief, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." And earlier he said, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we know that paradise at that time was in the heart of the earth. And in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story that helps to illustrate this thing about where paradise is. So look at Luke 16, verse 19. This is, I believe, not a parable, but a true story that Jesus is telling, primarily because he uses a proper name, Lazarus, in it, which in all the other parables that are recorded in the Scriptures, there are no names attached. It's just a certain nobleman or a certain person did this or that. But here we have a name, so and the whole story doesn't strike like a parable would. So here's what Jesus told them. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuous every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Keep that in your mind. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." And then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father," this is the rich man in hell, "I pray thee therefore, Father, Abraham, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So in the story that Jesus gives about the rich man and Lazarus, we learn a couple of things concerning the grave. In Hebrew, it's called Sheol, the place of departed spirits, the place of the dead in Old Testament times. According to Jesus, in this story, Sheol, or the grave, is divided into two parts. On one side is Abraham's bosom, which is also paradise, by the way. And on the other side is hell, a place of fiery torment. And I believe that this is a true picture of the grave. We know the body goes in the ground, soul and spirit go to another place. Here in this time, the time of the world with Jesus, that would be down. That would be Sheol. That would be the grave. And there's two parts at that point in time to the grave. Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the place of called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. But what we're going to consider another thing that the scriptures tell us that Jesus was doing there, but we'll do that in a minute. Did you notice in this story that the occupants of paradise and hell could see each other, could even talk with each other? The rich man was asking Abraham to send Lazarus with some water to quench his thirst because he was in torment in the fiery side. We know also that the occupants in both places were sentient. They were aware of themselves. They were aware of their plight. They knew what was going on. The rich man was in trouble in this fiery flame on the side that he was. In hell, the rich man also had a concern for his father's house. He had five brothers that were still alive. And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to testify to them, lest they should come to the same place as him, that place of torment. And of course, Abraham said, sorry, can't do that. Look again at verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's the scriptures. That's the word of God. They've got that. Let them listen to what the scriptures have to say. But this rich man said, no, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. So he thought. So the world seems to think the same kind of thing. Something supernatural, spectacular. Surely people will repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. The answer is, no, they won't. No, they haven't. No, they will not, even yet in the future when Jesus rules on the earth. They still will not repent of their sins. And so Abraham then says in verse 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And I would say to you that verse 31 is prophetic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. And to those who don't hear Moses or the scriptures, the word of God, the resurrection of Christ will mean absolutely nothing to them. They will mock that whole scenario as much as they mocked Christ on the cross. They will not be persuaded. And isn't that true? It's what happened. Jesus rose from the dead. Even the chief priests and the scribe realized that something miraculous happened, but they paid the soldiers to say, well, say that the disciples came and stole the body. They would not believe or repent of their sins, even though Christ had risen from the dead. So the next question is paradise still in the heart of the earth? Is paradise still down in the heart of the earth? And the answer is, no, it's not. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Ephesians 4, 8 to 10. He says this, wherefore, and we don't have time to get into the whole context and explain all of that, but we'll just give the meat or the simplicity of what is being said here. The scripture says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Right? So when Christ died, body goes in the sepulcher, his soul and spirit go to paradise, which is down. But it says when Christ ascended on high, resurrected from the dead, ascended back into heaven, he led captivity captive. And what is it that he that ascended, first of all, descended into the lower parts of the earth? And then he resurrected and ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the short version of what is happening here as it relates to paradise is this. In Abraham's bosom, which was in the heart of the earth, spirits and souls of the righteous dead were basically held captive there. They were held captive until the promised day of resurrection, when they would all be raised, have glorified bodies like unto the Lord Jesus. They didn't know that at that time, but that's what we learn from Christ. So when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, he took with him all the souls in captivity in Abraham's bosom, and he took them to heaven, such that paradise is now in the heavenly abode. That's why Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, that he was caught up to the third heaven, which is the abode of God, which is also paradise, where paradise is now. Now, ultimately, according to Revelation, paradise will be in the eternal home of God. And God is so expansive that it fills everything. So wherever the Lord is, paradise will be there. That's Revelation chapter 2. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will have the wonderful blessing that when we die today, our bodies go into the ground to await the day of resurrection, and our soul and spirit go down to paradise. No, we go up to heaven where Christ is, where all of the saints from the Old Testament days are now in soul and spirit. We no longer go down to the heart of the earth, but rather go up to heaven to the very presence of the Lord Jesus himself. And the promise is that we will ever be with the Lord. So in the grave, or the Hebrew word Sheol, today the paradise side of that place is empty. Only the hell side is still occupied and will be increased in numbers until the day of judgment comes, when hell will be called up. Everybody in hell will be called up to stand before the great white throne judgment. That's Revelation 20. That's what we know about paradise. Today it's up there. When we as Christians die, we go up to be with the Lord in the presence of the Lord, which is where paradise is today. But one other thing that the scriptures tell us Jesus did when he was in the heart of the earth, and I will say that there is some differences of opinion. Concerning this next verse, it's what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 18 to 20. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20, where we read this, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Notice, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Again, we don't have time to unpack everything that is in this section of Scripture, but I would have you to notice in verse 19 that Jesus had suffered for sins, was put to death in the flesh, and then after his death, he went where? To paradise, to Abraham's bosom, the heart of the earth, as we learned earlier, and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, there's a couple of things to take note of here. The word preach is the usual word for proclamation, to herald something, to give out a news announcement, something like that, a proclamation, a herald. And according to Thayer's lexicon, the herald always proclaimed his message with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. So, if we understand Jesus having gone down to paradise, the heart of the earth, Abraham's bosom, and preached to the spirits in prison, that word preach being to proclaim a truth, proclaim a message to them with all authority given in his word. This is not the same word for preaching the gospel. So there's some who say that Jesus went into hell to preach the gospel to those who were in hell. For what reason, I'm not sure, whether they think there's a second chance to repent of sin and so escape hell, which you're not going to do anyways. or maybe they're hoping that the Lord's just going to add more guilt onto them by preaching the gospel message. But this word preach is not preaching the gospel, it's the proclaiming of a message. What kind of message would he have preached, do you think? Well, I don't believe Jesus went into hell, even though Kenneth Copeland believes that. I believe Jesus went into paradise, the side across the gulf from hell. And as we read in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, they could see across the gulf, even to speak to one another there. And my impression is that Jesus proclaimed from the paradise side to the residents of hell that redemption has been accomplished through his own sacrifice on the cross. His redemption has been accomplished through his own sacrifice on the cross, his death for the sin of the whole world, but they won't be participating in redemption because of their condemnation and choice to reject God and his offer of redemption. This would authoritatively confirm their eternal destruction. They will perish, no doubt about it. And so it would appear that Jesus was quite busy in paradise after he died, confirming the blessed position of the righteous dead and confirming the ultimate destruction of the unrighteous dead in hell. It put a divine stamp upon what would take place for those people who were in those places. Now, the scriptures don't tell us exactly everything that Jesus did in the grave, but it does tell us enough to bless our hearts and strengthen our faith in Christ, strengthen our trust in the Word of God, and secure our hope in Christ as well. And I say to you this morning, be good Bereans. Think some more on these things and check out the scriptures yourselves. So Christ died. He said 3 days and three nights he would be in the heart of the earth. To the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, which has to be in the heart of the earth. there in the heart of the earth, as we see the description given by Jesus, the two sides, Abraham's bosom or paradise, and on the other side, hell, and the things that that Jesus said, they could communicate with each other, see each other, and the rich man even concerned for his brothers and so on. But when Jesus was resurrected from the dead on the third day, he took captivity captive. He took the souls and spirits of those in Abraham's bosom, paradise, and took them up to heaven when he ascended. And there in heaven is now paradise, such that we who believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, when we die, our soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord, which is in glory, the third heaven, as Paul calls it, the very presence and abode of God. And so Christ was quite active. Can you imagine when he entered into Abraham's bosom and all of the righteous saints that were there from the beginning of time up to that moment? Do you think any of them would say, hey, who's the new guy? Do you think Jesus would go around and introduce himself to all of the thousands and thousands and perhaps millions of souls that were there to say, you know, here I am, I'm the Lord Jesus, Son of God. I just paid for all of your sins through my death on the cross. Perhaps there were moments when Jesus would sit down with various individuals and talk to them about what was going on, what he had accomplished, and so on. And then to take them to glory when he resurrected from the dead must have been an awesome experience for them as well, because now they are no longer captive in the heart of the earth, in Sheol or the grave. Now they're in the very presence of God himself to await the day of their resurrection. So just a few thoughts about what Jesus was doing after he died on the cross. And maybe that'll give you some something to pursue further in the scriptures to see what else you may be learning. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and the opportunity we have to study it. And we thank you for giving us the glimpses of paradise and things that Jesus possibly was doing when he went to paradise and then took that up to glory, to the third heaven in your very presence. And we thank you that you give us these hints along the way that we can put together and get a better picture. We don't know everything that you were doing, Lord Jesus, but we suspect that you were meeting the needs of all of the folks who were on the righteous side, Abraham's bosom and paradise, and ultimately taking them up to glory. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the truth from your word that for those of us who know you as Lord and Savior today, that when we die, we go immediately into the very presence of God ourselves. And we thank you for that hope that we can have today. We pray that you will bless in the next few moments as we remember our Savior around the table. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your the work that you have done on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could have, by grace through faith in you, salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, and the gift of the Spirit to dwell within our very bodies. Thank you for that, and we pray that you'll bless in these next few solemn moments around the table. In Jesus' name, amen.